2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Let me first of all place you where we're at. Solomon has just, with the help of course God's people and skilled craftsmen and great sacrifice and service, has just completed the building of the temple. And if you go back a chapter, most of chapter number 6 is filled with this great prayer of dedication. Solomon preaches a sermon, and he was known, by the way, as the preacher, Solomon the preacher. And then he prays, and his prayer, I was a little disturbed about this, was longer than his sermon. And so I don't know whether to lengthen my prayer or shorten my sermon. Anybody got a suggestion out there? And so then we see in chapter 7, the Lord shows up in a wonderful way. Let's read the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offering, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also, at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in to Hamath and to the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the portion of scriptures. What a day this was. Lord, oft times as I read through the Old Testament, I wish that I had a time machine. I wish that I could go back, and I wish I could lay my eyes on this site. What an amazing thing happened here at the dedication of the temple. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we preach this morning, Lord, again, we want you to be lifted up. Lord, the devil wants to propagate a lie. He wants to tell young people that there's a better way, a happier way, a greater way to live their life than to serve the Lord. But that's just not true. And I pray, Lord, that you would use this portion of Scripture to encourage hearts. Use this, Lord, in our heart to stir something in us to make the right decisions. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I had a strange thing happen to me. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like there's always strange things happening to me. But I had a strange thing happen to me about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I was coming back from Terre Haute, and I was going through town there, and you know, the stretch of Terre Haute where there's about 16 zillion lights, you know, up and down 3rd Street there on 41. I was traveling along there coming back. I don't remember if I'd made a hospital visit or what had taken me up to Terre Haute. But there was a car that was kind of in the lane beside me, and you know how every light it seems like you have to stop. If you catch one, you catch them all, amen, it just seems like. So I was in one of those modes where I got to stop, and it was great because there's nothing more scenic than driving right downtown Terre Haute. If you're going to be stopped somewhere and you have to look around, that's a great place to be able to do it. And from what I understand today, it's even going to be greater than it ever was. Because, again, folks, let me remind you, White Castle is opening up in Terre Haute today. And so this is a great thing. Every once in a while, God does something special in our midst, and we ought to make sure that we give Him praise and glory and honor for such things. So I'm traveling down 3rd Street, and there was a car that glanced over and saw was full of young people. Now, when I say full of young people, it almost looked like one of those, the clown cars where, you know, they open a door and people just never stop coming out, but they were just crammed in there. Just packed in there. And there was kind of this long-haired, kind of, you know, worldly-looking guy that was driving the car, young man, you know, and I'm not picking at him. I'm just saying that's what he was and that's where he's at. But they had their music going. Can you relate to that? You know, folks, I just soon listen to my own radio. You know, I appreciate the fact you want to share it with everybody that's within 5 blocks. But he had the radio going. The guy kind of had this wild look in his eye. He had all these kids in there, and they're wrestling around and goofing around, and guys and girls mixed in together, and the radio blasting and blaring. And he kept pulling up and ended up beside me. So finally, after about the 3rd light, he toots his horn. And I look over at him, and he rolls his window down. He goes like this, and I thought, oh, no. Here we go. So I take the Jeep, and I push my little button here in the middle, and I roll the window down, and he goes, hey, man. I'm like, what, man? He says, looks at me with a real wild look, and he says, where's the party? Where's the party? I said, what? He said, where's the party? And all these kids are goofing around and they're laughing and carrying on, and the light changes green and we go on to the next light. And so we, of course, stop at the next light. I hear the horn toot again. He rolls his window down again. I roll my window down again. He said, hey. I said, hey. He said, where's the party? And I said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 9:30 every Sunday morning, 10:30 for preaching. He's like, no way, man. He just drives off. I kind of slowed down so that he'd make it through the next light, and I wouldn't, you know. So I decided I couldn't get that off my mind. Hey, where's the party, you know? And I'm reading through my devotions this week, and I'm going through 2 Chronicles. And all of a sudden, I realize, you know what? What I gave him, the answer I gave him, was a good answer. You know, the honest truth is, folks, if you'll follow the people of God through the Scriptures, can I say this? I'm not going to try to tell you, because you know it's not true, that there's never a heartache, and there's never a burden, there's never a challenge. But I'm going to tell you, if you're talking about genuine happiness, genuine joy, genuine celebration, genuine blessings, genuine good times, young people, that crowd is going to try to tell you can find it on a late Friday or a late Saturday night out there in the debauchery of this world. But the honest truth is, if you'll study the Scriptures, God's people have the best parties of any parties that go on anywhere. Now, let me share this with you. Where's the party? The party's with the Lord. The parties with God's people. The party, the real celebration, the real merriness of heart. Not the attempt to reproduce what they watch and see in us. But the real happiness, the real joy crowd is the people of God. Now in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, I want to remind you that they had a celebration here. They had a celebration. In verse number 10 it says, on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in their heart. Why? Because they'd gotten drunk? No. Why? Because they were high on dope? No. Why? Because they were involved in a bunch of sin and debauchery? No. Why were they of a merry heart? Why were they glad? Why was there cause for feasting and celebration? This is the reason that's given. For the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. And I can say this, folks, we have a reason at all times to throw a party if we want to throw a party. You know why? Because God is continually good to His people. Now let me just say this. There was a reason that they celebrated. There was a reason that they had this time of celebration. It would be wrong for us to pluck this out of the Scripture and say, this is what the Christian life is supposed to be, one continual party. Let me say this. There was a reason that they celebrated here. Let me just quickly share some things with you about what led up to this party. First of all, the people had sacrificed. For some time, they'd sacrificed for the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we read, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly, and they gave for the service of the house of the Lord gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. And the people rejoiced." Why? "For that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Why was there happiness? Why was there cause for celebration? Because there had been a time of great, yes, great sacrifice, but joyful sacrifice. We also see in the previous few years the people had worked for the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of the Lord. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment." What I'm saying is this. We're talking about the party, but there's a reason that we celebrate. There's a process that we get to before we have our celebration. See, the world wants to live in all-time celebration mode, but we celebrate for a good reason. You see, the reason they were able to celebrate is because there was a people here that was willing to sacrifice for the Lord. There was a people here who was willing to work for the Lord. And then as a result of that, there was a people here that got to see the Lord's power and glory displayed like it had never been displayed in many, many years in Israel. We read this, of course, in the opening verses of chapter 7. "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, you know what, folks? There's a process that we go through. I like our banner. I'm going to remind you of it throughout the year. But it says, "Going, weeping, sowing, reaping, rejoicing." Rejoicing. You know what? Rejoicing is an important part of the Christian life, but it comes because of us being willing to do the right things in the right sequence and seeing God do something unusual and blessed and sweet. And guess what? Because of that, we have an opportunity and a reason to rejoice in the Lord. Let me just say this. If you're not going, you're probably not doing much rejoicing in your Christian life. If you're not weeping, you're probably not doing much rejoicing. If you're not sowing and reaping, you're probably not doing much rejoicing. But you show me the Christian that says, you know what? Sacrifice isn't a bad thing. It's a great thing, and I'm going to do it joyfully. Service is not a bad thing. It's a great thing, and I'm going to do it with joy. And you know what? There's nothing better than having sacrificed and served and watching God get in on it and do something special, and then a time of genuine celebration before the Lord. And this is what we read in chapter 7, verse 8, down through verse number 11. Can I say this? Let me just say this. You know, I think Baptist people need to hear this from time to time. It's okay for us to stop every once in a while around here and celebrate the victories that God gives our church. I mean that. If there's something the Lord spoke to my heart about as I was studying this, hey, where's the party? I'll tell you where the party is. The party is at the end of every single event that we have at this church, where we get to work and sacrifice and watch God get on in it and do something sweet. You know what? I think, honestly, we probably don't stop and celebrate enough God's goodness and grace. I mean, they took a little bit of time out here and they said, you know what? Hey, we worked hard and we sacrificed and we got right with God, and and we asked God for His blessing, and God performed a miracle, and His presence showed up. And if we're not careful, folks, we just run right to the next thing. And I think maybe that's why Christians get a little worn out. I don't know about you, but I kind of like celebrating too. So every once in a while on the calendar, you're going to see something. You say, well, wait a minute, what's the purpose of that? The purpose is to be merry. The purpose is to make glad. The purpose is to praise the Lord. The purpose is to stop every once in a while and say, look what God's doing. Look what He's allowed us to accomplish. Man, let's get together and let's rejoice and let's enjoy each other's company. And I like the food, a fact that food's usually involved in these things. And so every once in a while, if we throw a feast and you say, I wonder what the spiritual significance. Well, if you'd have been in all the process building up to that, you wouldn't have to have it explained to you. You know what it is? A celebration time before the Lord. That's where the party is. The party, the real party, the real merriment of heart, the real gladness is a result of the goodness of Almighty God and God's people being overjoyed because of that and stopping every once in a while and saying, praise the Lord. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sacrifice produces a merry heart. Serving produces a merry heart. Seeing God's power and blessings produces a merry heart. And celebrating those things produce a merry heart. See, there's nothing quite as exciting as being involved in the work of the Lord. Does it involve sacrifice? Yes. Does it involve service? Yes. But even in the sacrifice and service, there's great joy. And then to see God bless our sacrifice, bless our service, to see God's power and to experience God's presence. Listen, this is the closest thing to heaven that we will experience while we're here on earth. Let me say again, there's joy in serving the Lord. Let me say it again, there's joy in serving the Lord. There's joy in sacrificing for our King. There's great joy in experiencing the power and blessings of and presence of Almighty God. Listen, to see God bless is wonderful. To be a part of something that God wants us to be a part of is incredible. The best parties in the world are not thrown by the world, they're held by Christians. The biggest celebrations ought to be held by God's people. When we sacrifice and serve and see something finished for the glory of God, then when we get to watch God do something powerful and supernatural, don't tell me I shouldn't take a few minutes and stop and have a party. Don't tell me that I shouldn't celebrate. It ought to bring that out of us, and it ought to be because of God's goodness to us. That ought to produce this time of celebration. Now let me tell you what I think. I think that the world tries to reproduce the genuine joy they see in the Christian experience, but they try to do so without God. The world's always throwing a party, but the problem is their parties tend to end in tragedy. The world wants a merry heart. Are you listening to me, young people? You better listen to your preacher this morning. The world wants a merry heart. They want to be glad. But they try to produce it by serving Satan. And Satan never has and never will bring lasting joy to anyone's heart. The world tries to find happiness without sacrifice, and instead they end up sacrificing their future. The world tries to find merriment without serving the Lord, and instead they become slaves to sin and the sickness of mind and soul that it produces. Now, we've seen for a few minutes God's people celebrate. I'd like to show you a few parties that are in the Bible that the world threw. You know what? We've seen how this one ended up and what produced it. But I'm going to tell you something, young people. Boy, I hope you'll listen to me. There's young people right here in this church. You know what? If you're not careful, 5 years from now, you're going to be in the debauchery of this world, and you're going to be looking for everything that you would have found if you would have just stayed here in the pew and stayed faithful to God. Don't you be talked into the fact that the world throws the best parties and is having the best fun. Their joy is short-lived. And their joy doesn't come from the Lord. It's temporary happiness brought about by foolishness. And then there's the pain and the guilt and the suffering that comes as a result of it. Let's go to Judges chapter number 16. Let's look at some of the world's parties. Hey, come on, Christian school kids. Are you a little curious? You a little curious? You want to go sneaking out now that you're 18? Everybody look up here a minute. Let me just announce something and help you parents out a little bit. You know what 18 means? Nothing. I'm talking about some young people ought to be squirming right now. ever since you've turned 18, you've been a little hellion. Been saying, I don't have to do this, and I'm 18, and I don't have to do that. Well, you don't have to do anything. Go out and get you a place and pay your own bills and buy your own groceries, and you go do whatever you want to. The idea that you're living under your dad's house and your dad and mom's house on their meal ticket, and you want to walk around saying, I'm 18, and I can do this, and I don't have to obey this. Well, that's fine. Let me help you pack your bags. Come on now. Come on now. Well, I'm an adult now. Then act like one. Then act like one. Turning 18 doesn't turn you into an adult. Being responsible, being God-fearing, working hard, paying your way, doing right. That's what shows me that you're an adult, not being a ding-dong and a dingbat. Now, maybe your goofy group of little friends is impressed by that, but I'm not impressed by it. And it's about time some of you shut that out of your vocabulary. You know, you want to be an adult, treat it like an adult, and you act like an adult. You want to do your own thing, then fine, go do it on your own ticket. Come on, come on. I'm a little tired of Christian parents surrendering to that nonsense. Well, I'm afraid they might move out. No, help them move out. Come on, coward, help them move out. They've got you held hostage in your own home. I'm not living like that. I'm not living like that. Amen. They live under my roof. They're living by my rules. I don't care if they're 6, 16, or 66. Yeah, that could be interesting. Amen. Actually, by that time, it'll be their house. They'll put me in a nursing home. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Judges chapter 16, verse number 23. Let me give you a party. Let me show you a party. This is the world's party. You want to go out and enjoy the world? Oh, Brother Jerry, but you don't understand. You don't hear the girls talk at school. You don't hear the boys talk at school. Boy, they know how to have a good time. Yeah, well, the Bible shares us with us some of the parties that the world throws. Chapter 16 of Judges, verse number 23. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. When the people saw him, they praised their God. Notice it's a little g here, folks, a little g. And you're either serving Jehovah God, the true God, Jesus Christ his Son. You're either serving that God or you're serving a little g God. And they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry. See, folks, you can fabricate this thing. You can seem to have the same thing that they had in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But what you're going to see is they didn't do the right things to produce it. And the end's not going to be the same. When their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson and that he may make a sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and they beheld while Samson made sport. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. This is a Philistine's party. The Philistines always represents in the Bible the flesh. This is the flesh party, the Philistine's party. It's a party where a false god is worshipped and praised. Dagon. By the way, this is an interesting false god. If you do a little study, this was a god that they set up to worship and to give credit to some false god for their prosperity. Can you imagine? Dagon, what did he look like? Well, the statues of Dagon was the figure. The figure of this statue had the hands and face of a man, get this, but the body and tail of a fish. They Their prosperity came from the sea. So this was their fish god, the one who controlled the seas and gave them of its bounty. Can you imagine burning sacrifices to a statue where the head is a man and the hands of a man and the body's a fish, but that's your god? Fish man god, that's your god. You say, that's a silly thing to worship. Well, it's not any more silly than what your flesh will drive you to worship if you're not careful. This is a party where a false god is worshipped and praised. By the way, this is a party where God's man was mocked and abused. And this was a party, by the way, that was cut short by the power of the true and living God, Almighty God. So, Brother Jerry, Samson shouldn't have been there. I agree with that. Let me say this, folks. If we're not careful, we give, by the way we live our Christian life, we give ammunition to the devil's crown. One of the reasons you ought to live a holy life and you ought to live a right life is so that you don't bring a shame, a public shame, before the name of Jesus Christ. Live the right kind of life. Don't live for the flesh. Don't serve the flesh. The flesh will drive you to do foolish things, wicked things, abominable things. The flesh will drive you to mock God's man and God's message. Sure he will. But you know what? Even a backslidden Israelite judge with no eyeballs was still more powerful than this whole crowd put together when God's hand came back upon him. Well, Samson said, you know what, God, they're rejoicing and they're worshiping the wrong God and they're mocking you and they're mocking me, and God, just one time let me be avenged. And that party came to a crashing halt. Crashing halt. You know what, that's exactly what will happen in your life if you decide that you're going to party with the flesh crown. Party with the flesh crown. Well, I wish I could save some of you young people years and years of regret and years of heartache if you'd listen to me right now. Would you listen to me right now? Would you hear me? Hear your preacher. There's nothing going on out in that world that'll do anything but destroy your life. You don't need a piece of it. You don't need a part of it. I wish I could get you on a time machine and go back literally to the dozens of times me and my wife have sat with a young lady. The dozens of times I've sat across the table from a young man who decided that he just had to go find out what was at the world's parties. You know what they found out? They found out that their life came to a crashing halt. Me and my wife, we work with a young lady, and I'll use this illustration because it's away from this church. Me and my wife worked with a young lady, and when we were pastoring the church in Brazil, and I was pastoring the church in Brazil, Indiana, we saw her come to Christ, and we saw God begin to change her life, and she began to make good decisions. But you know what? She just couldn't stop. Decided at least not to stop and see what the world had to offer. All of a sudden, I noticed she started missing church and she started hanging around a wrong crowd and she started going to the world's parties. And all of a sudden, we began to see a change in her countenance, begin to see a change in her convictions, begin to see a change in her love for Jesus Christ. Before long, she was at our doorstep one day knocking and weeping. And listen to me, young people, I wish I could scare some of you into doing right. Here's a young lady that had to go with some of her friends to one of these parties. Where are they at, Brother Jerry? Oh, they're in Linton. They're in Duggar. They're in Jasonville. They're in the hoops and hollers of Greene County, Clay County, and Sullivan County. Bunch of debauchery. Listen to me. This young lady went to a party up in Terre Haute. By the way, I wish I could get some of you young ladies to realize there's a reason that there's booze at these parties. Get some sense about you. This young lady went with her friends and she drank a little bit to drink there and got involved in some things she shouldn't get involved with. And finally she said to the person who owned the house, "Where's the restroom?" "Well, the restroom's upstairs." She went upstairs to go to the restroom. I won't go into all the details of this story. But she went upstairs to go to the restroom. And you know what? Upstairs were men waiting for girls that would go to the restroom. And her life in just a few minutes was drastically changed and drastically scarred in a way that's going to take her the rest of her life to get over. It's not a game. But my friends, and I asked her this, where were your friends when this was happening to you? Come to find out that one of her so-called friends help set her up for that to happen. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Every once in a while I see a clean kid around here. It's got Christian parents and been given every Christian opportunity and enrolled in a Christian school. And you know what? But it's just burning inside of you. You just got to go see what the world has. I'm trying to save you some heartache. I'm trying to save some disasters from happening in your life. I'm trying to save you from a whole lifetime of regrets. I'll say it. I've said it every single... Listen, I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. The world will use you and the world will abuse you. Then the world will lose you. You're going to find out that the morning after these so-called celebrations, there's nothing but guilt and heartache and regrets. And how do I put my life? I mean, here she sits in front of me and my wife with tears running down her face. What do I do? How do I put my life back together? I remembered in the back of my mind hearing R.G. Lee saying, you can't put together an egg after somebody stepped on it. Say, Brother Jerry, are you saying that there's no hope? No, there's hope. There's always hope in Jesus Christ. There's always forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's always cleansing in Jesus Christ. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there are not real life consequences of those kind of decisions that you have to live out and live with while you're here on this earth for the rest of your life. Man, young ladies, you've been given a great opportunity here. Some of you young ladies have been coming in and out of the bus for years, and you know what? You sit in here and sermons like this and go in one ear and out the other. You know what? You're already hell-bent for destruction. You already decided, as soon as you turn 18, you're going to go out there and you're going to do your own thing. But I'm going to tell you something. 18 doesn't end everything, because you're going to be 20, and then you're going to be 22, and then you're going to be 25, and then you're going to be 27, and maybe your common sense and maturity will catch up with your body by that time, and then you'll have a whole lifetime to regret going to the world's parties. That's what the world's parties involve. Go to Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5. Let's take another look at one of the parties that the world throws. Now, folks, I didn't go into it in great depth, but I showed you. Man, you can have a good time serving the Lord. You can have celebration serving the Lord. But it's not a life of partying. It's not a life of celebration. That happiness, that merriment, that celebration comes because you sacrifice and you serve, and then God comes in and blesses and something great happens, and there's a purpose behind the celebration. But the world, they just want to throw a party for the sake of having a party. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1, we read about a party thrown by a king by the name of Belshazzar. Daniel 5, 1, and Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken, notice this, out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and the princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the gold vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and the princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. I'm going to tell you something, folks. These are the celebration and service to the gods of mammon, materialism, Babylonians, the Babylonian party. Brother Jerry, sounds like a great time. Plenty of wine was flowing. Plenty of people were there. Great crowd. No doubt there was the world's music blaring somewhere in the corner. Look at verse number 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's house. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Wait a minute. What happened to the party? Where's the laughter? Where's the merriment? Where's the gladness? Where's the celebration? Are you listening to me? Oh, Brother Jerry, I've gone to some parties and I've never seen the roof come down and destroy people. I've never seen a hand start writing on the wall. You just keep going to those parties. You're going to see all that sooner or later. The roof's going to collapse on your life. The judgment of God is going to be written upon the wall of your life. Sooner or later, God's going to say, "That's it! That's it!" I mean, noticed that this king was affected in his spirit and his soul and his body. Listen, folks, sin affects every single part of who you are and what you are. The Babylonian party was a party where drunkenness abounded. Boy, we're a nation that's listen, we're a nation that is full of addicts. Full of addicts. It may not all be addicted to booze, but it's just amazing what this world's become addicted to. I talk to people out in the world, and you know what? They are 100% addicted to Hollywood. Some of them are addicted to the internet. Some of them are addicted to drugs. Some of them are addicted to booze. Listen to me, this was a big one. Some of them are addicted to immorality. I mean, the Bible talks about their minds only evil continually in their thoughts. The Bible talks about lasciviousness. I mean, they can't even concentrate. They can't go an hour without thinking and dwelling in their minds, going back to debauchery. They're hooked on immorality. I'll just do this. I'll just smoke one of these. I'll just take one of these. I'll just try one drink. You don't know where you're going to end up when you go down that road. You don't know what you're going to end up. Well, I'll just go to this website. I'll just buy this magazine. You have no idea where you might end up if you go down that road. Babylonian party, a party where drunkenness abounded. It was a party, notice this, the first party was a party where God's man was mocked and abused. The second party was a party where God's, the house of God was mocked and abused. They said, can you imagine this? Here this king who had robbed from the temple in Jerusalem all of the dishes and glasses and cups that were supposed to be used in service to God, and they fill it full of alcohol. Alcohol, by the way. Listen, folks, there's no such thing as a way to drink booze and be right with God. Let me say this loud and clear. I've got a preacher right here in this community that wanted to take me to task because I preach and our church has stood for all these years against any involvement in alcohol. He's a wine cooler sipping preacher. Likes his wine coolers. Well, as long as it's not done in excess. Well, the Bible says don't even look upon the wine when it's red in the cup. Now, I don't know how you take that as anything, but you're not even supposed to be close enough to see it, let alone taste it. Be surprised, even in independent fundamental circles, you'd be surprised what people, a lot of them used to be independent fundamental Baptists, they backslide, they get out of it, next thing you know, they want to defend everything. And there's no defense of that. Well, Brother Jerry, I'm not a drunk, but I drink from time to time. Well, that's why we have altars up here. If you're a child of God, you come up here, get on your knees, you repent of that, you ask God to forgive you, and you go home and you take that stuff and you dump it out and you get it out of your life, and then you know what? God's blessing could come upon your life. Drunkenness. You listen to me, young people? I'm talking about that friend of yours, quote-unquote friend of yours, keeps trying to talk you into coming to some party where there's booze. I'm talking about that friend of yours that wants to tell you, oh, it don't matter, it doesn't hurt anything, everybody's doing it. That's a lie of the devil. Not everybody's doing it. All around this auditorium, there's young people in the 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, in their 20, 25, 28. You know what? They've never touched a drop of it, and they have no desire to do so. You know why? Because they love the Lord. You got this Babylonian party, and all of a sudden, yeah, go ahead, just mock the house of God. Go ahead and bring the cups out, fill them full of booze. Slug it down. Go ahead. But there's going to be a day where God's hand shows up, starts writing on the wall. And you know what that writing was all about? It was about judgment. It was about judgment day. If you jump over to verse 24, it says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the writing that was written. Mina, tekel, ophsin, which is the interpretation this is the interpretation of the thing. Mina, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him, and he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, boy, I wish every young person would underline those three words. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. I don't know how many parties he's thrown. I don't think this was his first one. He seemed to be pretty good at it. And you may decide that you're going to go out there and you know what? You've dabbled in it just enough to build your confidence up and say, you know what? Everything that the preacher said, everything my parents said, nothing's happened to me yet. Yeah, I know. Let me tell you why. Because God loves you. Let me tell you why. Because God's merciful to you. because he's hoping the goodness of God will bring you to repentance. But I'm going to tell you something. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You keep spitting in the face of God. You keep trampling over his word. You know what? There's going to come a day where God's going to say, I mean, he'll never stop loving you, but he will spank you if you're his child. He will chastise you. Yes, he will. You're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something right now. You're not even a child of God. God doesn't even have the child-parent responsibilities in your life. You should fear him, and you should fear him enough to turn from your sins and accept him as your Savior and change the course of your life before something, before a hand appears and starts writing on the wall of your life. Now, listen to me. I know this is a Sunday morning, but every once in a while, a Sunday morning crowd needs to understand that the world's way is the wrong way, and the world and Satan will promise you everything and give you nothing. You're never going to find any true lasting happiness out in this world. You say, Brother Jerry, then where do I go? Where is the party? Where's the party? The greatest party that'll ever be thrown will be the celebration in heaven when Jesus Christ comes for his bride and takes us all to heaven at the rapture. This celebration even has a name. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. By the way, I can't wait till that party. Now, we can have some celebrations down here, and from time to time we ought to. And you know what? We're going to around here. But that doesn't mean we're going to stop serving. That doesn't mean we're going to stop sacrificing. But every once in a while, we're going to stop and say, you know what? God did something great. Let's just get together and let's just enjoy it. Never has there been a party like there's going to be a party when we get to heaven. Never has there been a party at any place like this place. Now, I'm going to tell you, the world has thrown some pretty extreme, extravagant parties. Oh, Brother Jerry, don't you know, man, the Hollywood crowd and the rock and roll crowd and the millionaires and billionaires, you wouldn't believe some of the extravagant places and what they have at these parties. Let me tell you something. That's going to look like nothing compared to where we go when we have this party. We're going to be, listen, you're going to be walking across streets of gold on your way to that party. You're going to be passing mansions that'll make the mansions down here look like outhouses. And you know, the honest truth is, the best part about it is God will be there. Never has there been a party at any place like this place. Never there has been a party, let me just say this because I like food, with better food than this place. Now, we have some ladies in this church that can cook, and I mean you no disrespect. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of you, wherever the big kitchen is in heaven, you don't end up there, not as punishment, just because you like it so much, amen? I'm glad there's going to be food in heaven. I'm glad God gave me a glorified body that I don't have to deal with a bunch of nonsense with, but I'm also glad that we get to eat. Amen. Amen. This is a party where God, this is a party where God is the center of it. There's never been a party like the Marriage Supper of the Lamb that's going to have more rejoicing and more laughter and more genuine celebration than this place. Now, one more thing and then we're done. Let me have your attention. I promise you this. Some of you may be here without Jesus Christ, your Savior. Maybe you're involved in the world and the wickedness of this world. Maybe if you died today, you wouldn't go to heaven. You're going to miss out on this party. Anybody ever heard this? I have. Well, I'm not going to be in heaven. I'm going to be in hell with all my friends. And I'll tell you what, we'll be throwing the biggest party you ever seen in your life. You ever heard that nonsense? Look up here and listen very carefully. There's never, ever, ever, ever going to be a party in hell. I mean, if you want to live for the devil and live in the nonsense, party away, you can do it, and you can do it. And you know what? The only person that can change your mind is you, and the only person that can change your direction is you. But God can change your life and give you the new want-tos. But I'm telling you this, you die in your sins without Jesus Christ, you've gone to your last party. You won't ever experience again a merry heart. You'll never experience again gladness. You'll never experience again laughter. You'll never experience again happiness. There is no parties in hell. There's no parties in hell. Say, what is in there? What is that hell, Brother Jerry? There's fire, brimstone. There's wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's prayers prayed that'll never be answered. By the way, there's all of the longings and all of the addictions of a life full of sin, but no way to satisfy them. Where the worm dieth not. Hey, where's the party? Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Sunday morning, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 church. Best party in Greene County. Best party in Greene County. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd do something in our hearts. Lord, help us. Help us to turn, Lord, through the Word of God and the conviction of your Spirit and the good, decent sense of your children. May we turn some heart back in a correct direction. I pray, God, please, I pray that you'd do something in the heart of some young person that's maybe being tempted. Maybe they're being pulled in a direction that's destructive. Some of these young people, they come in on buses, and the honest truth is they have to live in a house where these type of things happen. I pray, God, that you'd protect them and watch over them. And Lord, may they just make up their mind this morning. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to go God's direction. I'm going to serve with God's people and sacrifice with God's people. And whatever celebrating, whatever partying I do, I'm going to do with God's people. I'm going to do it the right way, not the world's way. There's somebody here without Christ as their Savior. I pray that you bring them under conviction. Oh God, it just seems like the more I watch people head into the world and the more they ignore the Bible, the more miserable their life gets. Lord, there's an answer. There's an answer. Lord, they've got to repent of their sin. They've got to turn away from the world and its ways. And Lord, they need the bounds of addiction broken in their life. Lord, the first step, the best step, is to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. I pray, Lord, if somebody's here without Christ as their Savior, that today they'd get saved and they'd start a new direction in their life.